Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. You brought the Word of God into our lives. You allowed us to have the opportunity to take your Son as our Savior. You've given us your Holy Spirit. You've given to us your Word. You've given to us a body of believers in which we can fellowship with and grow with. We thank you, Father, for all these things that you've done in our lives. You've taken us through situations, Father, and you get all the honor and glory for all of this. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're in Proverbs. Proverbs is about wisdom. There are two women in Proverbs. There's a woman in the beginning of Proverbs and a woman at the end of Proverbs. Sometimes people say God gives women a hard time because there are occasions when God uses women for an illustration, but that's not necessarily true. He's fair and balanced. The woman at the beginning is evil and the woman at the end is good, but both women are used to represent a certain thing. The woman at the beginning was used to represent evil and the woman at the end was to represent wisdom. So kind of keep that in mind, the sandwich, and I'll try to put a few things in there like lettuce and tomatoes and pickles and bacon. I always like the sound of that, bacon. Proverbs, never-ending well of wisdom, always springing up, all the time. Well, I read the book of Proverbs. You can't do that because every time you read the book of Proverbs, you'll be blessed even more than you were the time before. Jesus is our wisdom. Proverbs is Jesus. He's giving us the wisdom to get through this life. And I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but life is very difficult. Have you noticed that? Yeah, I see that hand. Chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. We're going to start by reading this. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. The Living Bible puts it like this. He wrote them to teach his people how to live, how to act in every circumstance. For he wanted them to be understanding, just and fair in everything they did. I want to make the simple-minded wise, he said. I want to warn the young men about some problems they will face. And I just wrote down a list. Now, this is a list. You might find some of these names familiar on this list. Mason, Grayson, Jameson, Eve, Adeline, Josiah, Annalise, Nora, Clara, Drew, Blake. It's quite a list. Now, they're not all here today, but when they are all here, there are a number of them. What would Proverbs have to say to them? Because it's written to those starting out in life. What's out there? What's lurking out there? What kind of situations are you going to find yourself in as you're journeying through life? You walk into that kindergarten classroom. You walk into that high school classroom. You walk into that college classroom. You walk into that basic training. You enter into that marriage. You move to that city. All that stuff, the uncertainty that's related to all that stuff. 101. 101 denotes an introductory course at college. Informally, it denotes elementary or basic facts associated with the field or subject specified. Proverbs provides the basic wisdom needed to handle the stuff life throws at any one of us. I never thought as a freshman in college I'd have to stand up and make a fool of myself in front of so many people, but I was thrown into that situation. Didn't ask for it. Never thought it would happen. It just regret it, the way I handled it. How do you know? So you just go by what you've learned so far and you figure you have enough intelligence or you can wing it, worst case scenario. Or, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. There are two categories of people. Those who look for wisdom from above, and the other consists of people who think they can handle anything, for they have all the tools necessary. One category is wise, and the other is made up of buffoons or fools. There is no middle category. There are just those two categories. The fool doesn't know what's ahead, but the wise can know what's ahead because he's received the wisdom that comes from God. The fool says, I can figure it out. The wise said, I don't have the tools in myself. I need something else. I need God. Verse 33 here in Proverbs. We have to go fast because we have 31 chapters we've got to go through. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. There's the whosoever. Whoever. Are you the whoever? Or are you the fool? Whoever dwells. Where do you dwell? I dwell in Eagle Lake. I'm from Eagle Lake. I've been in Eagle Lake for 40 years. I'm still not a native because you can never be a native unless you've been here all your life. But anyway, this is where I dwell. This is where I go to the post office. This is where I go to the health center. This is where I go to the garbage dump. This is my place of dwelling. This is where the church is. It's where I dwell. But no, it's not talking about geographical things. It's talking about where do you dwell spiritually? Spiritually, where do you dwell? If you had to write a one-page essay on where you dwell spiritually, what would you put into that? That's what it's referring to here. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely. You like safety? I like to cut trees. I don't know why I like to cut trees, but I do. But anyway, this summer, a couple times, I never looked up before I cut the tree. So there was a limb hanging up there in the tree. And it fell down, hit me on the head. Look, cut, a little blood. And a few weeks later, I was cutting another tree. Another limb fell down, hit me on the head. Not in the same place, different side of my head. Another little thing, bled a little bit. Shouldn't have told anybody, but I did. So my brother-in-law says, listen, I have a hard hat you can have. I said, I have a hard hat. I said, don't wear it. Well, that's not safe. It's not safe to be working with things that are above your head and not have a hard hat on. Not only is it not safe, but it's foolish. So you need to think about safety. And then we look at that verse. It's talking about dwelling safely on the planet here as a human being going through this life. We have, not all of us, but none, I don't, but some people do. They have cameras. They guard their property with cameras, all four sides, in case some burglar comes. I should get a camera because my dog is useless. But anyway, they have cameras. And people have alarms, and people have airbags in their car, and people have sensors that if you're getting too close, or it goes off, or somebody's getting too close to you, it goes off, or if there's somebody trying to pass and you can't see them, the alarm goes off. And that's nice. That's for safety. And this new car we have, like on the interstate, you're driving, you set it for 75, which I don't do. I set it for 80. But anyway, and you're coming up onto a vehicle, but you just don't want to have to mess with the cruise control. Car is so intelligent. It just slows down. Stays there. It's wonderful. It's for safety. And then when you pull out to go by, it speeds up and goes by. You don't have to touch the accelerator or anything. Wow. It's like, I just want to be on the interstate all the time. But we do that for safety, don't we? All those things we put into our lives for safety. We put studs on our tires in the wintertime. All that stuff. But listen, if we don't put this into our lives, spiritual safety, we're in a very dangerous place. Very dangerous place. But whoever listens to me will dwell how? Safely. Safely. What God is saying to us is turn the control over to me. You think about that. We're heading towards this. We're heading to where you just put in where you're going. And read the paper and the car will take you there. If you ever do that, that ever comes, you're going to trust that system completely. Think of that now. You're reading the paper and you look up and there's a car coming the other way. Can you really trust the system? But you know most people will. They'll trust the system. But when it comes to God, can you trust God? Can you trust God? Really, can you really trust God? Will God do what's best for you? Even though it might go against what you think is best for you, you still trust God. You trust God when things happen that you just really don't like. You still trust God. It says, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely. That's what it says. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's about wisdom. It's about not trusting ourselves. It's about trusting God. Always trusting God. Deuteronomy put like this in Deuteronomy 32:11, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. Like that eagle, there's the young. You know, it's been a good life up to this point, but then mother starts just messing up the nest and making the nest very uncomfortable because you can't live in the nest forever, little guy. Comes time when you got to fly. But he can't fly. He can fly a little bit, but he can't fly that much, and he could crash. But mother knows that, and mother's right there. And when Junior's going down, mother catches Junior in those pinions and brings Junior back up into the nest. But the nest is uncomfortable because life is like that. There comes a time when you have to fly on your own, but it's good to know when you're learning how to fly on your own that mother's there. And that's the verse way back in Deuteronomy, almost 4,000 years ago, well illustrated. God makes things uncomfortable for us to cause us to do what we were meant, designed to do. And whenever we falter and fail, which we often do, learning things, he'll be there to catch us. And another opportunity opens up. Well, that's what it says. Psalm 27:11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. We have three foes, the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's a world that's rejected God. The world has rejected God. We see it every day. We watch it on the news. We see it in general conversation. We live in a world that's rejected God. And it's not our friend. And then there's the flesh. You look in the mirror and you see yourself. You tell yourself, you are not my friend. You are my enemy. I'm going to be very careful around you. I have to live with you. But I'm going to be very careful around you because you are not my friend. You are my enemy. That's wisdom. And then there's the devil. Now, don't blame the devil for everything because people put too much on the poor guy. He can only be in one place at one time. He's not God. And he's not like God. He's the devil. He's an angel, the fallen angel. But he's come up with a lot of clever things. One of the cleverest things he's come up with is questioning the Word of God. See, when people say, well, the Bible's not the Word of God, they're just mimicking what he said. So he's quite effective in that. He came up with that theory, and people have embraced it ever since. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. You have foes. It's dangerous out there. Keep that in mind. Psalm 77, verse 20 says, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Will you imagine that crowd of people? There could have been a million. There could have been up to 2 million people traveling through the wilderness from Egypt to Canaan. And they were being led by Moses and by Aaron.
There were a lot of problems in relation to what they were going through in the wilderness.
But still, God, that was his flock, and he chose two men, not perfect men, flawed men, because all men are flawed, but he chose two men, Moses and Aaron, to lead the flock. Good leadership. And that verse is there in Psalms. What's God doing today? Where are God's people today? Who is leading God's people today?
Those are a few good questions right there.
Proverbs 20, verse 24. Don't turn there because I'll just read it. Man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How then can man understand his way? Man's ways are ordained by the Lord. How can man understand that? Like this. How come you were born here? How come you were placed in that family? How come you were given that IQ? How come you live in this country? Did you ask for that assignment? No, you didn't. God placed you here for this time. God did that. Things happen and you look back and maybe it was at a time when you had no interest or care about the things of the Lord at all. But still, you look back and you say to yourself, somebody else was there. Well, that's what that verse is saying. I'm not just making that up. So you come to the scriptures and you find that kind of wisdom, that God is really involved, that God's not only involved in the here and now, but God has been involved in the past, and God is up there waiting to be involved in your future. So that's a good thing to rest in. We're not alone here on this. Chapter 2. This is that evil woman no problem here, so I can build this up a little bit. Here's the young man, and there she is, and she's got a miniskirt on, and she's really decked out. She's got a very expensive perfume on that you can smell from 3 miles away. She's an adulteress, but the young man sees this, smells this, analyzes this. He's a fool, and she's just going to lead him into sin. Well, that's just a paraphrase of what I'm reading. Verse 16, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. See what he's saying? That's just telling young man, don't get sexually involved with married women. No, that's not what it's saying. I mean, that's what it's saying. Of course, that's what it's saying, but that's not all it's referring to. Because the whole thing is about wisdom. And certainly we need wisdom in relation to sexual things, but we also need wisdom in relation to all the things that life can throw at us, like this. She's a woman. Sure. Be careful. I don't have any young men here, just old guys that wouldn't preach into the choir. But if I had some young men here, I'd say, young men, be careful of the women. Dangerous. But I'd say to the young women, be careful of the men. They're dangerous. Careful. Be very careful. Think this over well. Don't just go by looks. Don't just go by smell. Do a little background check here. But she might be alcohol. Might be alcohol. I can't remember when I had my first drink of alcohol. I really can't remember. But I was very young. But I do remember this. I liked it. I liked alcohol. Yeah. You know something? I still like alcohol. Yeah. Stay away from it. They would call me an alcoholic, I guess, because alcohol has been a problem in my life. See, alcohol could be the woman. Drugs. Drugs could be the woman. Now, I smoked pot once, didn't inhale. No, I did inhale. I smoked the whole joint. Didn't do anything for me. So I didn't smoke it again. Vietnam vet came back, introduced me to some pot. Didn't mean anything. As far as I was concerned, it just interfered with my drinking is all it would do. But some people, that's the woman. And it destroys people. For some people, it's just lust. Like this man looking at this woman. It was just lust. What drew him? Lust drew him. We have natural lust. If we didn't have natural lust, none of us would be here. But lust can be the woman. Greed can be the woman. Just wanting more and more and more and more. Till you're dead. So what did greed do to you? Where did it lead you? What have you accomplished through greed? Fame could be the woman. Some people like to be famous. They work towards that goal. They have some kind of talent or gift, and it makes them famous and well-known, and it destroys them and destroys other people. That's the woman. And then just foolishness. She could be foolishness. Well, you name it. I just gave you a small list, but there are so many things that you could do foolishly that's really that woman that we just read about in chapter 2, right there. But there she is. Chapter 3. What should a person not lean on? In verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not just a passing attraction. Embrace godly habits. Embrace Christianity with everything that's in you. Embrace this thing with all your heart. It's like saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me for my sins. And you have peace. God has forgiven you for your sins. That's a great thing. But then God wants you to tell somebody that you've been forgiven for your sin. And then God says, what about your family? And then God says, well, what about your friends? And then God says, what about my church? God says, what about the Great Commission? You see, you can't just have a little bit of it. You've entered into something that's big. So with your heart, you embrace it all. You embrace salvation. You embrace sanctification. You embrace service. You embrace it all. You're part of it all. Whole package of stuff. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I don't know the song. It was back in 1966, I think. I was 12. Lean on me. A nice song, huh? They had music back in those days. Lean on me. But that's what God says too. We just read that. Lean on me. Chapter 4. What are we talking about? Wisdom. Proverbs. Chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. All you're getting, get understanding. More and more and more and more. I look at that and I say to myself, study. Like I said, you read Proverbs once. There are 31 chapters. You read Proverbs the second time, and it's like, I never noticed that before. And you read the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time. Every time you read the book, you find different nuggets of truth that speak to you. It's called the living word. It has the uncanny ability to address your concerns in the here and now. That's what study is. And there's also the application of Proverbs. Like I was saying, you look in the mirror and you tell that guy in the mirror, that girl in the mirror, I don't trust you. I trust God. That's good. You've made a lot of progress when you say that. Instead of saying, I trust you, I don't trust God. You've come a long way. And then you make it workable. It says, and in your getting, get understanding. It's like more and more and more and more. Oh, if we could just go back through life. Just go back and start over again.
Apply Christian principles that build, not destroy. That honor, not dishonor.
Like in the classroom, as a five-year-old, I'd look at those girls, not because I was looking at girls at 5 years old. I think I was six. But anyway,
those girls would color with such intensity. First, they would go over the outline of whatever we were given. Then they fill in the exact color, matching it, so that the end product was perfect. I'd watch them all the while asking myself how or why they would invest so much time and energy into this task. Then all of a sudden, my mind would find something else of interest in the classroom. Even an abacus with its moving parts was of more interest to me than this coloring project the teacher had placed before me. If a truck happened to go by, the sound of the diesel engine drew my attention to the window.
I was kind of all over the place. So I'm just like, what's going on here? Where am I? I should have been tracing that out. And then coloring and figuring out the shade. That's what I should have been doing. When she said, you're going to trace out this letter G, and then G, and then G, I should have tried to do that to perfection. I didn't do any of that. But if I had to do over again, that's exactly what I would do. That's what I would do.
Likewise, when you become a Christian, there are so many things to distract you also.
Oh, there are still things that bring your attention to something else outside of Christianity, but there's so much in Christianity. But really, what's important? Some people are so involved in their faith and so involved in what God's doing and so appreciative of what His Word has to say and how they're growing in their faith. I want to be like that. We make those decisions. Well, it says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. So you know there are some things like work involved in this and time and thought and all that kind of stuff. Now, because we're running out of time, we're going to skip over to chapter 30, verse 24. Now, there are four things that are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. See, the Holy Spirit has so many ways to get our attention. I wonder what those four things are. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. The spider skillfully grasps with his hands and is in king's palaces. So he's reaching down into the animal kingdom and he's pulling out four creatures from the animal kingdom to help us understand what this business is all about. And the first one is the ant. They don't stop. Watch them. Find yourself an anthill. Maybe not the time of year for that, but find yourself a place where there are ants and just get a block of wood and sit on that block of wood and just watch those creatures, because God said, consider the ant. And you'll notice they're just going, 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 going. They know something's coming. And when it gets here, they're going to be ready for it. I did that one time in a mill yard. I was watching the ants. I was having my sandwich, and I was watching the ants. There was this ant pulling a dead ant. Now, it could have been his aunt that died. He was taking her to the funeral home. I don't know. But I'm thinking to myself, I wonder where he's going with that dead ant. And I'm thinking, protein. He's like, man, I found a whole big pile of black protein. And the young ones are going to really enjoy this. Anybody for liver? I don't know. But I was considering the ant. I realized what the Bible said. The Bible said, consider the ant, because the ant knows something's coming. Do we know that? Death is coming. Yeah, people die. No, but really, do you really know that? Are you prepared to die? We had an ER doctor used to ask that to patients. Are you ready to die? He got into trouble. Patients didn't want to come in the ER and hear the doctor ask, are you ready to die? He could have chosen his words more wisely. But are we ready to die? Are we prepared for that? Have we made plans about that? What are we leaving behind in those preparations we're making right now for the future? Judgment's coming. Are we ready for that? The ant is. That's what he teaches us. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. Over in Africa, big swarms of locusts just descending on crops and just strip it completely. Unbelievable. And they try to figure out who the king is. There is no king. Trillions of locusts. Why do they descend as they do on a parcel of land and devour staple crops like teff, wheat, and tropical grasses, then pick up and fly as far as 81 miles or more? A day, then descend on a new location as a huge swarm. No cell phones, no pagers, can't talk to each other. Consider that, but they all move. No king. Onward, Christian soldiers, moves the church of God. How has this thing survived 2,000 years? Of persecution, 2,000 years of false teaching, false doctrine, 2,000 years. How has this thing called the church survived? And how come it's still growing and still reaching out? How come there are Christians all over the globe? How come? There's not one person in charge of all that. How come? Strange. Verse 26, the rock badgers are feeble folk. Yet they make their homes, some translate that, in the rocks. Badger's not much of an animal, but badger makes its home in the rocks. In other words, it makes its home in a safe environment. Not much, but knows where safety is. Christians aren't much, but we should know where safety is. We should know where the safe place is to hide from stuff that befalls others. I would say, be safe in the Word of God. It's a place of safety. Make that part of your diet every day as a place of safety. Be safe in the church of God. God has raised up his church for that purpose. Be safe there. Fellowship, be safe there. Badger does that. Then lastly, verse 28, the spider skillfully grasps with its hands and is in king's palaces. You can't keep spiders out. You can disinfect your house, you can spray it, and before you know it, there's going to be a cobweb somewhere. Who is he? How did he get in? Why did he do that? There's nothing for him to eat in here, but he will. A spider will go in there and he'll climb up right to the ceiling and he'll be in a king's house. So I said, you're like a spider. It's like, what am I doing in a king's house? How did I get here? What did I do to deserve being in a palace? He's talking about believers. He's talking about wisdom that comes to believers. Imagine that. We're in heaven. You're in heaven. I mean, we know somewhere we receive Christ and all that, we were born again. We understand all that, but still, you're in heaven. And you're going, wow, unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Never thought I'd do this. How did I get here? Remember one time we were flying out west. We're at 35,000 feet. I'm looking out the window. Hey, it's the Mississippi River. Look at that thing. Oh, wow, I never thought I'd be here. But imagine being in heaven. Wow. And heaven's perfect. In heaven, everybody's perfect. Like here, there's nobody perfect. You know what I mean? Have you noticed that? But heaven, everybody's perfect. Everything's perfect. There's no bad news. It's just all good. Wow. So anyway, to put the other piece of bread on the sandwich, we're talking about those young people. I wanted to mention this. Ann Murray. This is one of her songs, The Snowbird. Spread your tiny wings and fly away. I like that. The statement that was made in that song. When I was young, my heart was young then too. Anything that it would tell me, that's the thing that I would do. But now I feel such emptiness within. For the thing that I want most in life is the thing that I can't win. Boy, that depicts the young man. That depicts that kind of thought. How you start out and how you end when wisdom doesn't come into the equation. That's a good song. The other song, and these aren't hymns. I think some of these secular songs have more spiritual value than some of the hymns. I would be careful with that, but you know what I'm saying. On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above on the wings of a dove. When troubles surround us, when evil comes, the body grows weak, the spirit grows numb. When these things beset us, he doesn't forget. He sends down his love on the wings of a dove. Well, I wouldn't wait for the dove, but I think he sends down his love in many ways, like the Word of God, like the Holy Spirit, like the fellowship of believers, and many, many other ways, if we just opened up our eyes to it. The last lesson I'd like to pull out of Proverbs will be done quickly. Chapter 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is above rubies? This whole section deals with a woman who's perfect. Perfect. So you're led to wonder, who is she? Well, what's Proverbs? Proverbs is wisdom. So she's wisdom. In the end, she's the one that depicts the whole book of Proverbs. Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? Who can find somebody that valuable? When you discovered God's truth, you've discovered the most valuable thing on the planet. The most valuable thing that you own is God's truth. The thing that can do more for you than anything else is God's truth. That was her worth. Verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts so he will have no lack of gain. Well, we talked about that trust, didn't we? He safely trusts in her and he'll have everything he needs. Well, if she personifies wisdom, we safely trust in God's wisdom and we have everything we need. We're good. We're good. It continues. Verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She does him good, not evil. Now that's complete trust. We all have our little struggles with each other, don't we? You know, we won't go into that. But anyway, we do, don't we? But think of this. With God, safely trust all the days. All good. Everything's good. God is good. God's good. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. This woman works all the time. All the time. I think of my dear French grandmother. My dear French grandmother was always producing something. Always. When she wasn't cooking and she wasn't growing the garden and she wasn't canning and she wasn't trying to keep my grandfather sober, she was knitting. And she'd watch TV and it'd just be clickety click clickety click clickety click, 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 and the mitten would drop off. She was a worker. She was a worker. Well, what are we talking about? Wisdom works. Wisdom works. You ever buy something you saw on TV, they worked so well and you bought it and it didn't work? Wisdom's not like that. Wisdom works and works and works and works. Wisdom's always working, just like her. She personifies wisdom. God's wisdom is always at work in the life of the believer. It doesn't cease. Middle age, working. Old age, still working. Doesn't go away. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Not like the ships off the California coast waiting to unload, but she's like the one that brings that from afar. Where does that come from? Where does that wisdom come from? It comes from afar. Where does this information come from? Can you imagine? It comes from heaven. How far is heaven? And it keeps coming, and it keeps coming, and it keeps coming, and there's more wisdom, and there's more wisdom, and there's more wisdom. An old writer of hymns called it the waves of the sea, wave upon wave upon wave. I read the Bible once, I'm good. No, read it again, and then read it again, and read it again, because wisdom just keeps coming and coming and coming. That's who she is. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. Wisdom is strong. Foolishness is weak. Wisdom is strong. Foolishness is weakness. Wisdom is strength. Have it right now. Get it right, Christian. It's not like our youth. It's not like what we were taught to believe. It's not what our friends told us. It's different. Very different. Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. That lamp doesn't go out by night. Dreading the night. Hating the night. The darkness overwhelming. But her lamp doesn't go out by night. Still burning. It's not her night. It's our night. It's her lamp. It's her lamp. It's our night. I like that. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. You know why he's known? Because of her. If it hadn't been for her, he would never have made a go of it. Hadn't been for her, he'd never had that position. She is the wind beneath his wings. She put him there. Who is she? She's wisdom. Don't forget that. Wisdom put him there. Back to heaven, huh? You're in heaven. Who put you there? Wisdom put you there. You are wise to come to the Word of God. You are wise to obey the Word of God. You are wise to believe the will of God. That's wisdom. That's what she's like. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She watches over the ways of her household. She makes sure that everything necessary is there. She's not idle. Watches us. Wisdom. Nice, huh? Sometimes I do things or say things or think things and I think, you're so stupid, it doesn't make any sense. It's a good thing the Lord's there. It's a good thing the Lord's there. When I cut somebody's ear off and I just look at that ear and say, why did you do that? Peter did that. Lord, could you put that ear back on that person? Because he's there. He's always there. He's just there. He's there when we're not there. He's still there, like wisdom. Don't you like Proverbs? Well, that's just to get you interested in the book. You see, there's so much more between chapter 1 and chapter 31, but, well, that's up to you because I did my part. My part was to get you interested in the book. Father, we thank you for the book of Proverbs. We thank you for wisdom. We thank you the Lord Jesus Christ really was a representation of all that wisdom. Never once said the wrong thing, made the wrong move. Always did your will. Always prayed. We thank you for him. We thank you for those gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen.